RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo to keep tabs on development projects' progress. Bank Indonesia optimistic about balance of payments reversed. Lake Toba Festival 2015 officially opened. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has expressed his intention to keep tabs on the progress in the implementation of a number of strategic projects in East Kalimantan province 4 months after the groundbreaking ceremony. After launching a number of strategic projects in Bulumhinun Village, Penajan Pasir Utara District on Tuesday, he said that the project must be started and he will observe the project 4 months following the groundbreaking. According to him, many groundbreaking ceremonies are for development projects in the Penajan Pasir Utara District. The project launch are located in North Penajan Pasir and include groundbreaking for the Balan Island Long Bridge, groundbreaking for the new railway construction, the groundbreaking for the National Marine Science and Technopark, groundbreaking for the Benoa Taka Harbour in North Penajan Pasir, and groundbreaking for an advanced project on the Balikpapan Samarinda Tollway. The 804-meter-long Balan Island Long Bridge project is funded from the state budget with 1.33 trillion rupiah, and it is projected to be completed by 2019. Bank Indonesia's Senior Deputy Governor Mirza Adiaswara expressed optimism on Tuesday about the Indonesian balance of payment being in surplus in 2016 after a predicted deposit of $5 to $6 billion this year. He said the deficit this year is triggered by a deficit in the export and import of goods and services and bigger outflows of funds. However, with the structural improvement that is now underway, the balance of payments, including the current account and balance of financial transaction, will record a surplus like in 2014 when the surplus of $15 billion was made. Mirza added the improvement in the balance of payments would complete the positive trend of 2016 following uncertainty caused by the U.S. Federal Reserve Fed's rate issue and the positive impact of various economic policy packages announced recently by the government. Mirza signaled that after the balance of payments improve, the rate of inflation will be better under control to give the monetary authorities a bigger opportunity to reduce Bank Indonesia's rate. Indonesian Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya opened officially on Tuesday the 2015 Lake Toba Festival held in Brastagi Tourism City, Karo Regency, North Sumatra. Head of the Karo Culture Tourism Office, Dinasti Setepu, said the Danau Toba Festival 2015 will take place from 19 until 22 November 2015. This event is expected to increase tourist visits to Tanah Karo because since the eruption of Mount Sinabun in 2010, there has been decline in tourist arrival in Karo Regency. Meanwhile, head of the North Sumatra Culture and Tourism Agency, Alicia Marbun, said that Karo is part of the territorial waters of Lake Toba. This area also has a beautiful view such as Tongkin and Simalim Resort.
Tanah Karo dengan erupsi Gunung Sinabungnya yang ditakuti oleh semua orang, apalagi
Tanah Karo with the Sinabung volcano eruption is shared with everyone, particularly in Indonesia. But we make it into a tourism destination. Sinabung eruption becomes so beautiful that it's nothing to be feared. It becomes a more beautiful tourism with existing eruption. And there should be a limitation of the distance from the sake of security, where the red zone is, where we can see that eruption while we are having a tour in Karo Regency. Let's make Lake Toba Festival a success, because Lake Toba Festival is the festival of our aunt. Hopefully, Lake Toba Festival will be better in the future.
Bahwasanya Festival Toba adalah festival kita sendiri. Mudah-mudahan dengan Festival Toba ini akan lebih baik lagi ke depan.
Lake Toba Festival 2015 has spent $3.4 billion budget consisting of $1.4 billion from North Sumatra Regional Budget and $2 billion from the Minister of Tourism. This event will be highlighted with various events such as Solo Bolon Bodybuilding Course, Ulos Carnival Arts and Cultural Attraction, Ethnic Fashion and Seminars on Toba Caldera Geopark. Indonesian diplomats and servicemen are likely to enjoy strengthened visa waivers soon, as all stakeholders are working to finalize the necessary agreement, according to a Belgian envoy. Belgian Ambassador to Indonesia Patrick Herman said that he is confident an agreement on the visa waiver could be reached in the coming weeks. The agreement would be reciprocal, since Indonesia recently issued a visa-free status for citizens of all Schengen member countries to visit Indonesia. Ambassador Patrick Herman said the agreement will be a stepping stone towards further liberalization. Along with France and Netherlands, Belgium is one of the staunchest supporters of Indonesian obtaining a strengthened visa waiver. On the sidelines of the UN General Assembly in New York recently, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi presented data to her French counterpart Laurent Fabius, showing that around 150,000 Indonesian tourists visited the Schengen area every year, and that the visa rejection rate at around 1.1% was negligible. The Schengen zone consists of 22 European Union member states and 4 non-European Union member states, namely Iceland, Liechtenstein, Norway, and Switzerland. Indonesian Financial Service Authority (OJK) is completing a regulation on remuneration packages for bankers as part of its efforts to improve good governance in domestic banking industry. Deputy OJK Commissioner for Banking Supervision Mulia Sregar said the financial regulator would require lenders to implement good corporate governance (GCG) in calculating remuneration for its executives and staffs. Mulia said the policy was part of the reform measure for local banks to comply with Basel III, the latest version of banking rules applied internationally and developed by Basel Committee in Banking Supervision, of which Indonesia is a member. Basel Committee's reasoning behind the rule, he said, was based on the 2008 global financial crisis that occurred partly due to decision made by bankers to take high-risk initiative so as to get higher bonus and wages from their employers. Mulia added the higher the risk they take, the higher bonuses they seek, and that eventually drives them to jump into more risky initiatives. This can cause institutions to collapse. Vice President Yusuf Kalla has told people not to worry about free trade pacts such as ASEAN Economic Community (AEC) and Trans-Pacific Partnership (TPP), saying that the government will ensure that the people will benefit from the deals. He addressed people concerned over potential job competition in Indonesia once the AEC becomes effective in January 1, 2016. He added that competition would not be an issue as wages were lower in Indonesia compared to other ASEAN member states for certain professions. Vice President Yusuf Kalla was referring to a single market vision of the ASEAN Economic Community, which includes the free flow of skilled labor, in addition to free flow of goods, services, and capital. He also took a jab at the people who questioned Indonesian readiness for ASEAN Economic Community and controversy surrounding Indonesia's intention to join the TPP. Several experts have expressed concern over Indonesian readiness for free trade agreements such as upcoming ASEAN Economic Community and particularly Trans-Pacific Partnership (TPP). Deputy to the Minister of Tourism for Development and International Marketing, Ide Vitana said in Jakarta on Tuesday that Indonesia considers Japan as a strategic partner in developing the national tourism sector. Vitana pointed out that in 2014, the number of Japanese tourists to Indonesia reached more than 500,000 people. In 2015, the number is predicted to increase, and in 2016 is estimated to go up to 600,000 tourists from Japan. He remarked Japanese tourists like Indonesian culture every March because it has various kinds. Japan is expected to include the biggest five of countries whose tourists visit Indonesia after Singapore, Malaysia, China, and Australia. In 2019, the number of Japanese tourists expected to reach 1 million people. Moreover, the Indonesian government has issued a policy on free visa for a short visit for Japanese tourists. They will get free visa for 30 days. Japan is one of 90 countries that received free visit visa to Indonesia. In the meantime, Indonesian Consul General in Osaka, Wisnu Edi Pratikno, said he is optimistic that Japanese tourists will keep on coming to Indonesia. PricewaterhouseCoopers survey over 800 of company leaders located at Asia Pacific ranks Indonesia in the second place after China as trading communicator and investment in the area. Head of the Capital Investment Coordinating Board, Frankie Sibrani, said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the survey results showed that company leaders of Asia Pacific Economic Cooperation (APEC) member countries still put the trust into Indonesian investment climate, which is more conducive. He added the survey noted Indonesia has been successful to exit Singapore, known as one of the training and investment of Asia-Pacific communicators. Singapore only got 46% of respondents of the company leaders stating to increase their investment until the next 12 months. The percentage is under Indonesian position that got 52%, and China is in the top position with 53% of respondents. According to Frankie, the leader's trust is significant enough at the safe foreign investment flow at Asia-Pacific is high enough. He also said Indonesian achievement in the survey is as the capital for Indonesian government for increasing investment flow into Indonesia. Indeed, investment realization of the countries associated in APEC dominate investment flow into Indonesia. The last item, the development of industrial areas in East Kalimantan is being accelerated through the construction of railway line. President Joko Widodo opened officially the project by groundbreaking the railway line that will stretch from North Penajan Pasir Regency to East Kutai, West Kutai, and Kutai Kartanegara. At the press release, it was announced by Minister of Industry Saleh Husen after accompanying President Joko Widodo in East Kalimantan. According to Minister Saleh Husen, his site develops five industrial areas, namely Mulai Batuta, Trans-Kalimantan as palm oil downstream industry base, Muara Wawahu as coal processing industry, Karya Ngawu as the industrial base of coal, oil, wood, and chemical. In the Desundera industrial area, Baluminun as the industrial base of coal processing and Bontan industrial area as a base of oil and gas and condensate. Based on the plan, these transport lines will be connected to industrial area Karyangau in Balikpapan, which has a seaport. Besides transporting raw materials industry, railway transport will also proceed as cargo and passenger transportation. The development railway line is carried out by the Russian government and United Arab Emirates, and the construction has been started in March 2015 along 135 kilometers. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary entitled "The Action of Terrorism is Not Islamic." The attack that occurred in Paris, France, increases the fear of Islam, alias Islamophobia, in Australia. Some threats, attack incidents, sending a message in several areas and places of worship of Muslims in Australia show this phenomena. It is recognized by the chairman of Islamophobia Register, Mariam Faisadet. Amid rising Islamophobia, a Muslim businessman in Sydney, Dia Muhammad, establishes a political party, the Australian Muslim Party, on Tuesday, November 17th, and the party aims to gather some votes of Muslims in order to grab seats in the Australian Senate in the upcoming federal election. It is an obvious challenge for Dia Muhammad to face in Australia, as there are some anti-Islam parties.
Dia Muhammad condemns the attack in Paris and declares Islam forbids the killing of innocent people. Instead, the party he founds would not support the invasion of Islamic countries as a response to similar tragedy in Paris. What happens in Australia is different from what had happened in France. In France, French security forces keep chasing any suspects of the Paris attack. In addition, they also hunt the perpetrators of the attacks to neighboring country, Belgium. French President François Hollande, in front of Parliament on Wednesday, declared war against ISIS. In fact, he also called for an international coalition to quell the militants of ISIS. According to French Foreign Minister Bernard Cazeneuve, 115,000 officers have been deployed to protect security. They consist of the police or the territorial army. So far, French security forces have conducted more than 100 operations to hunt the suspects. One is the hunt for Salah Abdeslam, who returns to Belgium. Then Belgium security forces disseminate a photo of one of the suspects. The operation conducted by the French police was also targeted to search an apartment on the outskirts of Paris. In this operation, a shootout happened between police and an armed group that had been besieged. In Syria, French forces have attacked ISIS position more recently. This attack was not carried out alone. Russia also took part in the attack. As a result, 33 militants of ISIS were killed. It was confirmed by the director of the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, Rami Abdulrahman, based in the United Kingdom. France stepped up attack to Raqqa, ISIS base in Syria, after the attack in Paris that killed 129 people last week. Russia also stepped up attacks after Russian President Vladimir Putin issued a strong statement after the attack in Paris and knew that Russian passenger plane that crashed in the Sinai because of the terrorist attacks. Amidst the criticism on Muslims, a French Muslim stood in front of the Place de la République in Paris and stated that he was a Muslim, but not a terrorist. His action got sympathy from the public who passed through the area. It makes sense if a country is attacked and then it is also common to react. However, we should also take a lesson from the story of Sayyidina Ali, one of the friends and relatives of the Prophet Muhammad in a war against the unbelievers. At that time, he fought with sword one by one. Ali called his opponent to convert to Islam, but his opponent spit at him. Then Ali did not continue the fight because he did not want to kill his opponent because of anger and revenge. That's commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from November 20th, 1946. Igusti Ngurah Rai passes away. Colonel Postumus, one of TNI, Gusti Ngurah Rai, is an Indonesian hero from Badung Regency, Bali.
Igusti Ngurah Rai died in Marga, Tabanan, Bali on November 20, 1946. Igusti Ngurah Rai has the troops called Ciung Wenara, occurred the final battle known as Puputan Margarana. Puputan in Balinese language means all out, while Margarana means battle in Marga. Marga is a rural district capital in Tabanan, Bali. The Indonesian government conferred Mahaputra stars and promoted to Brigadier General posthumous. His name was then also immortalized in the name of the airport in Bali, Ngurah Rai Airport. On November 20, 1945, Nuremberg Tribunal presents 24 Nazi war criminals. Nuremberg trials was a series of court of many cases related to the main members of the group of political leaders, military and economy of German Nazi. The series of trials was conducted in the city of Nuremberg, Germany, from 1945 to 1946 in the Nuremberg Palace of Justice building. The first trial and most famous of a series of sessions was the trial of the major war criminals before the International Military Tribunal that tried 24 of the most important German Nazi figures. The trial lasted from 20 November 1945 to October 1, 1946. And we conclude today's segment of Today in History with an event which occurred on November 20, 1992, Sanana Gusmao detained by Indonesian military. Khairala Sanana Gusmao is a former guerrilla who served as the first president of East Timor, held on May 20, 2002 to May 20, 2007. On August 8, 2007, he served as the first prime minister of East Timor with his cabinet of the first constitutional government. On February 6, 2015, he submitted a letter of resignation from the position of prime minister in a government reshuffle framework that will streamline the cabinet. He was replaced by Rui Maria de Araujo, the former Minister of Health and a physician of New Zealand alumnus. Before becoming a guerrilla, he was a football player and journalist, but later joined the Timorese fighters against Indonesian rule. About 20 years of armed struggle in the forest and mountains, he led a guerrilla until he was arrested by Indonesian soldiers on November 20, 1992. He had to undergo political imprisonment for 7 years until later released on September 7, 1999 by the Indonesian government after the fall of the new order. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Focus. Listener, today we'll take you to talk about Indonesia bridges the Doha Round. Indonesia ready to bridge the developed countries and developing countries to continue the Doha Round as part of the World Trade Organization WTO conference in the Ministerial Conference in Nairobi, Kenya next month. Trade Minister Thomas Lembong, on the sideline of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation APEC meeting in Manila on Tuesday, November 17, said there are still major differences of opinion between developing and developed countries regarding the Doha Round negotiations. Indonesia can reach them, and it is always expected to be bridged. Minister Thomas Lembong said the statement related to the position of Indonesia in the middle was presented at the closing of the APEC ministerial meeting on Tuesday, while other countries provide a very clear statement related to their position. According to the minister, although choosing the position to be impartial, he stated that Indonesia still has its own thoughts and will defend national interests. He explained the developing countries hope the Doha Round negotiations that still deadlock for 14 years should be continued. However, the developed countries evaluated the negotiations that have been taken decades. Hello, listener. Here is the headline of several national newspapers published today, November 20, 2015. We begin with Compass. In its headline, writes about public infuriates demanding profiteering case to be finished soon. Numerous petitions and expressions appeared online reflecting public's outrage, demanding the case of a politician alleged profiteering the president and vice president for shares from PT Freeport Indonesia to be finished. However, until now, the House Ethics Council, MKD, is yet to decide when the case will be finished. The Ethics Council, only targeted to summon the denunciator, denounced and related parties before the end of 2015-2016 second session period on December 19th. And we continue with Media Indonesia. The Daily writes about the palace denied Sudirman Said. Coordinating Minister for Politics, Legal and Security Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said the report from the Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said to the House's Ethics Council related to the profiteering case was not approved by President Joko Widodo. Meanwhile, Vice President Yusuf Kalla previously was stated to be communicating with Minister Sudirman to immediately report it to the Ethics Council to avoid allegation of spreading lies. Meanwhile, Republika wrote death sentence postponed until economy improves. Coordinating Minister for Politics, Legal and Security Luhut Binsar Panjaitan in Jakarta on Thursday said the government is postponing the execution of death row inmates, including the foreign ones. According to Minister Luhut, the execution will be delayed until the country's economy improves. And we end today's headlines with Business Indonesia about President, not a mere groundbreaking. Indonesian President Joko Widodo instructed the acceleration of national strategic projects to avoid stagnation after the groundbreaking ceremony. This was stated by the President in his remark at Benua Taka Penajam Port Area, Pasir Utara, on Thursday during the inauguration of several projects in East Kalimantan. President Joko Widodo on Thursday inaugurated several main projects resulting of the cooperation with Russia, including railroad, coal port, and TAN Technopark development. Resulting of the cooperation with Russia, including railroad, coal port, and TAN Technopark development. Listener, that was headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo has expressed intention to keep tabs on the progress in the implementation of a number of strategic projects in East Kalimantan province 4 months after the groundbreaking ceremony. Bank Indonesian Senior Deputy Governor Mirsya Adiaswara expressed optimism on Tuesday about the Indonesian balance of payment being in surplus in 2016 after a predicted deficit of $5 to $6 billion this year. Indonesian Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya opened officially on Tuesday the 2015 Lake Toba Festival held in Berastagi Tourism City, Karo Regency, North Sumatra. Indonesian diplomat and service are likely to enjoy strengthened peace away soon, as all stakeholders are working to finalize the necessary agreement, according to Belgian Envoy. Indonesian Financial Service Authority, OJK, is completing a regulation on remuneration packages for bankers as part of its efforts to improve good governance in the domestic banking industry. Vice President Yusuf Kalla has told people not to worry about free trade pacts such as ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, and Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP. Deputy to the Minister of Tourism for Development and International Marketing, Ide Pitana, said in Jakarta on Tuesday that Indonesia considers Japan as a strategic partner in developing the trans-tourism sector. PricewaterhouseCoopers survey over 800 company leaders located at Asia-Pacific ranks Indonesia in the second place after China as trading communicator and investment in the area. The development of industrial area in East Kalimantan is being accelerated through the construction of railway line. President Joko Widodo opened officially the project by groundbreaking the railway line that would stretch from North Penajam Pasir Regency to East Kutai, West Kutai, and Kutai Kartanegara. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back with me, Steve, in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we would like to invite you to visit one place in West Sumatra. So if you're interested, stay tuned. Listener, Lembah Anai Sanctuary is one of the protected forests in West Sumatra Province. This area is a very wide tropical forest with various flora and fauna inside. Moreover, the sanctuary has three waterfalls and one lake. These waterfalls are located in the western part of Lembah Anai Sanctuary. One of them, located at the roadside, is Lembah Anai Waterfall. While the other two are covered by the thick forest, making them unknown to many. Listener, the Lembah Anai Waterfall is a tourism icon in Padang. The location is on the side of the Trans Sumatra Road, which connect Padang and Bukit Tinggi. More precisely, in Nagari Singgalang, 10 Koto District, Tanah Datar Regency, West Sumatra. The water of this waterfall comes from Singgalang Mount. The clear water flows throughout the hills and valley, even passing the Lembah Anai Sanctuary before it reaches the cliff edge. From the cliff, the water falls for 50 meters into the valley floor and forms a basin. Situated on the roadside does not reduce the beauty of the waterfall, because the mouth of it is higher than the road. Its clear and fresh water makes anybody want to enjoy it. Besides swimming, many tourists also take pictures. After enjoying the Lembah Anai Waterfall, please do not miss the beauty of a lake in Lembah Anai Sanctuary. From the waterfall, the lake only takes 15 minutes trip. Listener, Lembah Anai Waterfall is located 60 km from Padang. To reach it, you can take public transport, hire a car, or bring your own vehicle. The trip takes 1.5 to 2 hours. Along the way, you will pass the winding roads with breathtaking scenery around. On your right and your left, you can see the green valley and hills. By the way, entering Lembah Anai Tourism Area, you must pay 3,000 rupiah per person. But you will not be disappointed because the area has various facilities such as restaurant, bathroom, and parking lot. Well, listener, that's a glimpse about Lembah Anai Waterfall in Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topics. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information. Boy listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Ani Hasana. In today's edition, we'll take you to find out about Universal Children's Day. Children are priceless treasure for parents. Having children is a blessing for married couples. However, sometimes there are parents who do not appreciate the blessing. There are still many unfortunate children in this world. To remind us of children who are a valuable asset for human's life, non-profit organization UNICEF set November 20th as Universal Children's Day. In Indonesia, there are still many unlucky children. Indonesian children in remote areas do not get proper education yet. However, the Indonesian government does various efforts to keep giving proper education in the remote areas of Indonesia. Children's rights now get attention. We may never think that children also have the same rights as adults. The thing that adults may consider small is an important thing for children. It is common that children have times to play and learn instead of doing activities for adults. This is the time for people to be aware of the unlucky children. Through various activities that can increase the creativity of children, people can go hand in hand to smarten children of the nation. Happy Universal Children's Day! Well, boy listener, that ends today's miscellany on Universal Children's Day. I'm Ani Hasana, thanks for listening. Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you an Indonesian dangdut singer and a song composer named Leo Waldi. Well, to begin our program, here is a song entitled Bukan Yang Pertama, or in English means Not the First One, by Leo Waldi. Enjoy the song.
Teman biasa, tapi kebaikanmu
Listener Waldi Hermansyah, who was born in Jakarta on July 31, 1958, is an Indonesian dangdut singer that was better known as Leo Waldi. On October 11, 2012, Leo Waldi died of lung cancer stadium 4 that he had suffered from 2004. Leo began his career in the Indonesian dangdut music industry as a song composer. Although at first Leo composed pop hits, since 1980s, Leo started getting engaged in the Indonesian dangdut music. He had composed hundreds of dangdut songs. Well, listener, before we continue, let's listen to a song by Leo Waldi entitled Cinta dan Debu or Love and Dust. Happy listening.
Yang paling dalam, tapi mengapa kau masih pergi juga? Tinggalkan aku sendiri. Katanya cintamu padaku bagai air yang tak pernah lebu, tapi kini cintamu padaku ibarat debu jalanan yang tertiup angin. Tak akan menyatu lagi. Bukankah aku sudah berikan kelembutan hatiku yang paling dalam, tapi mengapa kau masih pergi juga? Tinggalkan aku sendiri. Jalanku sendiri. Setelah ku tahu hatimu berduri, biarlah ku bawa derita hidupku. Ku tanggung sendiri luka hatiku. Bersama kekasihmu yang baru engkau cinta. Bukankah aku sudah berikan kelembutan hatiku yang paling dalam, tapi mengapa kau masih pergi?
sanggung sendiri luka hatiku. Berbahagialah engkau di sana bersama kekasihmu yang baru engkau cinta. Bukankah
listener Leo Waldi successfully led Elvi Sukaisi, Indonesian senior dangdut singer, who is dubbed as the queen of Indonesian dangdut. Since then, Leo started getting considered as a noted song composer in the Indonesian dangdut music. After leading Elvi Sukaisi to fame, Leo Waldi also helped other Indonesian dangdut singers to reach fame, such as Swesti Wirabuana and Hetikus Endang. Both were Indonesian female singers who dominated the Indonesian music industry in the 80s by singing songs composed by Leo Waldi. Now, Leo Waldi has gone, but his work stay alive until now. Well, listener, to end Music Corner for today, we present to you two songs by Leo Waldi entitled Bukan Kata Orang and Bekas Pacar. Enjoy the songs, and I'll see you again in the next edition of Music Corner.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
isinya perasaan sama seperti dirimu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.